Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Roberts, and as always,
I am your good friend and host, Steve Roberts. And here on the Hump Day edition of the Yard, hope you're well today. Hope you're having a good week. No midweek baseball game, so we don't have a game to recover. We will kind of go back and take a look at the night that was. Got some other baseball things to talk about. Got some football recruiting stuff we're going to talk about as well. Got a really cool top 10 list, something I've been kind of kicking around for a few days, and you'll understand when we get to it. I wasn't going to do one for this particular artist because we've done the band before, but I wanted to do it, and I felt like I needed to do it. And so, you know, there's some bands out there that, you know how it is, like that. You know, there's an artist that maybe you love, and like the court of public opinion has shifted, but you kind of remain true. And especially if you ever get a chance to meet those artists, you say, you know what, I want to support, you know, good people. You have a chance to meet them, and you know, things change. And so I wanted to celebrate the music of one of my favorite artists today. We had some good suggestions, but I'm calling a little bit of an audible here. I don't know. I guess we probably had a half dozen or so here in the last week, and I'll get to those. But wanted to do this one and to kind of celebrate the music of this particular artist. Recently been a tragedy. And so, again, I wasn't sure I wanted to do it, to be honest with you. I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. Kind of bums me out. But that's the thing. When we lose those artists, we still have their legacy and their catalog, with which in many respects to kind of keep them alive. So we're going to do that today. Got a lot to talk about. I had a very, very meaningful conversation yesterday with Justin Parker, first-year pitching coach here at Mississippi State. Wrote a very lengthy Q&A, and that probably was a little bit less than 50% of what we talked about. You know, some of it was just, you know, some stuff that they need to go on the record. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, just kind of speaking casually. But the more I'm around Justin Parker, the more I'm impressed with him, not just as a coach, but as a person. And I have little doubt in my mind that he is going to be a head coach sooner rather than later. You get to know people when they first come in and are kind of putting their best foot forward. And then you get to see the body of their work as they come in here to a new position. And I think most people would say right now, Justin Parker, arguably the best assistant coaching hire in the country. And again, that speaks to the job that Chris Simonis did to get him here in the first place. But I wanted to talk to you guys about some other things that didn't make the article to kind of give you guys some insight. If you're a Jeans Paid subscriber, you can go read that. It is a VIP-only piece. Those are the kinds of things we come up with every now and again. What's the point of us having access if we don't use it every once in a while, right? Go over there and just say, hey, I'd like to get a one-on-one with this coach and just kind of have an informal discussion, but just kind of sit down and shoot the breeze a little bit. That's what we did yesterday. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I'm thinking about Bulldog Burger Company tonight. I mean, I'm on the fence. Is it tonight or tomorrow for lunch? Because I'm kind of craving those Sloppy Joe sliders. And it's a great lunch portion, which is one of the things that's kind of got me thinking maybe I push to tomorrow. And the week's getting away from us quick. It's true. So I don't know what you have a hankering for, but chances are you can get that craving satisfied at Bulldog Burger Company. When you go in, have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. That's not the only appetizer on the menu, but that's typically the one that I go with. It's part of my, you know, my beauty care regimen. It's true. I do like their wings, too. They season their wings pretty well, too. Sometimes I even get that as an entree out. It's like buy a whole thing of wings, bring it home, knock it out. And so I love going in there because, number one, the consistency. That's one of those things that's maybe a little bit undervalued sometimes, especially when you eat local, right? I mean, it's like there are a lot of people, like when we travel, I always try to eat local. I got some friends, they always go to the national chains. I try to avoid that when I can. And they say, well, at least I know what I'm going to get. I know what's on the menu, and it's kind of the same everywhere. And that's the boring part of it for me, right? I like to be able to go out and kind of explore a little bit and have a little bit of a trip for the taste buds, too. But that's one thing I love about Bulldog Burger Company, is they're not some big corporation. They're part of a group of restaurants based right here in the Golden Triangle. Right here. They have served us for so many years. But when I go in there, yes, I get the local flavor. I get the local service. I get the local pricing. But I kind of get a national level of consistency. That is difficult to replicate. It truly is. And so I love going in there, putting my feet under their table and just letting them take care of everything. Sometimes that's what you need, right? I mean, it's like, hey, I got no problem cooking. I got no problem sitting down to eat at your house. But sometimes you just want to go out and be able to enjoy a conversation and have a moment with somebody you care about and let somebody else handle the cooking and the serving. And what great service you get there. Great food, great atmosphere, great pricing, great portions. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get that chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. And maybe you've never really considered that. You know, it's like, Steve, I'm full. You know what? You get that chocolate shake. Even if you can't finish, you put it in the fridge, have it for breakfast in the morning. It's great. It is. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right. So let's talk a little bit about Justin Parker. Now, here is the thing, and I know some of you think that I preach sometimes. This isn't really a sermon. We're not going to pass it around an offering plate, and if we do, all proceeds go to the Bulldog Initiative. I'm not going to hum just as I am or lay hands on people or have an altar call or anything like that. But I just want to talk about some things philosophically, especially some things I kind of pick up from talking to Justin Parker. Now, the first thing that I'll tell you, I'm a very confident person. That hadn't always been the case. You know, experience kind of breeds confidence. You go out and you attempt something, and sometimes failure is a part of that experience. But then once you finally accomplish something, you begin to realize, hey, I can do this. You know, it's kind of like going out there for those of you that run or have run. Yeah, you know, I remember the first time I ran my first half marathon, it was kind of like, okay. You know, those last few miles, it's like when you set a new PR, you begin to be so proud of yourself. It's like, hey, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And you begin to learn what you're capable of. It's kind of the same way with pitching. We spoke extensively kind of about Tyler Davis, about how much more confidence he has these days. And I think a lot of it, he always had the talent. I think he just kind of needed the wizardry of Justin Parker to kind of come in here and work on the game planning piece of it. You know, it's not just, hey, let's go throw our best pitch. Let's go throw the pitch that puts us in the most advantageous situation. I think that's a huge part of it. The thing that I hear consistently from our pitchers is how detailed the game plans are. Like one of the things we've talked about, how many times do you see our pitchers take another team's star and put him through a pretty mediocre weekend? We haven't had a lot of stars just show up and beat us. I mean, I go back, I think Tommy White probably had the best weekend against us. And, of course, that's first weekend of SEC play, really before things began to take root for us. But the thing that I have probably learned in the last 24 hours about Justin Parker is that, guys, if a war breaks out, right, if it becomes a Red Dawn moment, and for those of you that are young, you'll have to talk to your parents. The first PG-13 movie of all time was Red Dawn. It was great. A movie of patriotism. Movie of the great American know-how. Movie of courage. Of course, it was all based on nothing. Just somebody's idea. But if a war breaks out or there's a zombie apocalypse or anything like that, I'm going to do what I can to get in the camp of Justin Parker. Because there are some people that just kind of exude confidence, and you say, you know what, this guy's going places, I'm going to hitch my wagon to that. Now, along those lines, one of the things that I see a lot in life, in business, and in some respects, sports, industry, there's a lot of it out here. There are a lot of people that want to surround themselves with weak people. There are some people out there that have married weak people. Very weak people. And some of that is on intention. There are a lot of people, it's like, hey, in order to feel like a peacock, I got to surround myself with turkeys. Everybody says, oh, look at him. Look at them. True competitors don't want to be in that situation. And I think people that truly want a healthy relationship don't want that either. You want to be equally yoked. You know, some people like to go out and, you know, marry somebody that they consider somewhat lesser than because they're insecure. You know, I wanted to marry somebody and I wanted to work with people and I wanted to work for people that really challenged me because I wanted to be better. I wanted to be around people that were inspirational. That's what you're seeing with Justin Parker. I suspect this guy never has a bad day. And what I mean by that is I think Justin Parker has been so kind of steeled by life. And he talks about he has a little bit of a sickness in him for competition. I kind of feel the same way. You know, I'm the kind of person, it's like, you know, I'm not happy unless we can talk a little trash, right? And maybe that's an insecurity in me, but I'm a person that thrives on competition. And so people that truly want to compete want people to challenge them. Real athletes and real competitors want to be coached because they want to be better. That's not to say that Justin Parker walks on water by any stretch of the imagination. However, if Doc Tibahaw County Lake was full, I might be willing to put that to the test. But I say that because I remember my early conversations with Nate Dome, like after Justin Parker got here. And I've always been a Nate fan, always. From the very first time I spoke to him, when we announced his transfer from Ball State, I had a chance to talk to him. I said, man, this kid gets it. He understands what he's kind of stepping into. Even if he didn't have the full knowledge of knowing what the Mississippi State experience is going to be like, he had the confidence to know that he could pull it off. And then he gets here. He was our best pitcher last year. And even with that, there was some up and down with it. When Justin Parker gets here, and it's almost like Nate Dome is like, well, hey, this is what I've been waiting for. You know, Nate was the guy too, you know, talking to him early on, he's like, Parker asked him, because how do you throw this hard? You know, because sometimes his mechanics were in conflict. And so we begin to work on athletic movement. We begin to work some of these drills that we can take to the mound that kind of refine our delivery a little bit. And the number one way to get buyout when you're a coach or a leader or a manager or anything is when you begin to empower people for their own success. You give them the tools to get better. It's not about him. It's not about the coach. You know, there's not a pitcher on this team. It's just going to say, I'm just happy to be here. You know, these guys want to get better. They want to get on the mound. They want to record outs. They want to have the crowd cheering for them. They want to extend this season. They want to play as long as they possibly can. In order to do that, you got to have somebody out there that's going to make you better. And that's not going to happen if you have somebody kind of taking you kicking and screaming. Right? We all got to be in one accord here. And I don't mean a Honda. Everybody's got to be moving in the same direction towards a shared goal. It's like, hey, this is your role. This is what we need you to do. And I thought he made a great comment, too, about everybody has a closer's mentality, not just the closers. Because your job may be to go in there in the sixth inning and get us out of an inning. So you got to go close this inning, close this at bat. Maybe you're a matchup guy. Maybe you're Cole Cheatham. You know, and we need you to come in there and just pitch to one left-hander. Of course, you know, Cole had a couple good innings over the weekend. But you kind of understand my point. Once we can kind of establish what the roles are, and we can kind of get mentally and physically prepared for that, that's a big part of things. You know, these guys, like everybody that's here, everybody on this team, at some point in their lives or career have been the best player on their respective teams. Justin made a great comment yesterday after we turned the recorder off. You know, he said when everybody's talented, it's an even playing field. It's a level playing field. Everybody has talent, especially when you go to the SEC. There's going to be some guys that have a little measure more than others, but everybody's talented. And so in order for you to let your talent shine even brighter than your competitor is your preparation's got to come in. You have to prepare harder and more efficiently than your opponent. I mean, how many times do you see it, right? I mean, whether it be a boxing match or, you know, UFC fight or a race or whatever, when you have two people that are similarly situated, one person's got to win. Well, the winner typically is the one that's most prepared. That's the thing that kind of reminds me of last Friday. You know, Alabama's Greg Ferrone, since they moved him from midweek to the weekend and ultimately to Friday, has been absolutely outstanding.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay-Green 1-cubic-foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm going to tell you this, that guy, in all due respect to the Ferrones and his family or whatever, I'm not being critical of him. But at the same time, I'm praising Jake Gautreaux and your Bulldog hitters because Ferrone was so ready to get out of that ball game. He was so incredibly uncomfortable on the mound. But it's like when they came out there to get him, it's a wonder he didn't meet him halfway. That kid was ready to leave. Bryce Chance, of course, with the coup de grace there, hitting the solo home run there to open up the fourth inning. But, you know, it's like, I can't do anything right. Mississippi State has made me uncomfortable. And that's one of the things that you always hear about in life when you're in leadership or working towards anything is you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. This is a much different scenario. You walk out there comfortable and you're confident, and all of a sudden, hey, this is typically what I do. And then Mississippi State offensively takes that away from you. That's another thing that Parker kind of got to, is everybody has a plan A. Well, I want to make them beat me on plan B. And a thing that kind of maybe illuminated for me a little bit is when he talked about how you've seen Cal Steven and Gerangelo. It's like, you know, the first couple innings are kind of, you know, up and down, and then all of a sudden we get into the middle innings. Like even that ball game at Vanderbilt, right? Cal Steven gives up a couple tanks in the first inning. They score again in the second, and then he retires 15 in a row. Because baseball, like football, is a game of adjustments. And we talk about that all the time. I mean, there's so many teams, they come out, and they run some probing plays to see how you're going to defend certain things. And so there's a feeling out process. It's kind of the same way in baseball. How are we going to attack this hitter? And so as a hitter, you're thinking, okay, this is how they pitched me the first time. And so I go up there a second time, and I'm thinking, I'm aware of this. And then they get into their real game plan. It's like, now they're just going to pack the zone with stuff that I'm uncomfortable swinging at. That's what happened against Alabama. We go out there and absolutely take them out of their element. Alabama is a good offense. And then Cal Stevens out there absolutely just rolling through them. And then the Bulldog offense is making their best pitcher look like a kid that should be in a midweek. And that's not being critical of him. That's just the reality of life. Everybody can get got. And that's what happened to Greg Ferron when he came to Starkville, Mississippi. Listen, he's a talented kid. Throws really hard from the left side. Probably needs to add a pitch. But it's really not about Greg Ferron. It's about Mississippi State's level of preparation. And they do a lot of little cross-checking and cross-training and things like that. You know, Justin Parker and Gautreaux kind of get together and talk about what they see or, you know, from certain pitchers or hitters and things like that. It's a collaborative effort. But the one of the things that I guess would probably – this kind of stuff doesn't make the paper, right? Is we're just kind of sitting around after it's over with. You know, he's got some questions for me, and we're talking about a few things and just kind of talking about the league as a whole and about life. And Justin Parker, like if he wasn't our pitching coach, I'd like to pick him to be my friend. It's that kind of personality. You just feel like this is a guy that not only, if you follow him, he'll lead you some places perhaps you've never been, but he'll also probably bring out some parts of you that maybe you're not as proud of. He can help you shore up some of those weaknesses. And I can see why Justin Parker is in the position that he's in. And I can see why Chris Simonis just absolutely had to have him. I get it. You know, it's one thing to have those preseason discussions because at that point, though, it's just a promise. Well, now we've got, you know, 45, 46 games of production now. And one of the things that I thought was probably one of the most remarkable things that he says is he admits, hey, there was a couple of games I wish maybe we had back. There's some things I would do differently. Maybe you bring guys out in a different order, you know, and you're still kind of learning what guys are like on the field, as he says, in the arena. You know, you learn who you can trust. And we discussed about Cal Steven that Friday at Vanderbilt. You know, we went on Sunday because Cal worked deep into Friday. You guys hear me say it all the time. If I'm going to lose the Friday game, I want to know it as soon as possible because that just kind of dictates how I'm going to pitch the rest of the weekend. And sometimes, and Justin and I discussed this too, that you know on Friday nights, if you're going to lose, it really doesn't matter how bad you get beat. You kind of got to push your ego aside and say, you know what? Hey, they could beat us 55-1 tonight, but I'm not going to go out there and use a guy that can help me win a game Saturday or Sunday. I'm not going to go waste an arm. And I see it on social media, especially last year. You know, we're out there, Tennessee and Vanderbilt, scoring all these runs against us, just kind of rubbing our nose in it and stomping on our plate and disrespecting our dugout. And I see you guys on social media. I mean, like, we'll be down 10 runs. Hey, let's put Nate Dahl, man. We got to stop the bleeding. It doesn't matter how bad you get beat. There is no credit for margin of victory. Because you may go out there and get beat 20-0 on Friday and come back and win Saturday and Sunday, and you've won the series. And that margin of victory on Friday really means nothing other than the fact it may inflate your ERA a little bit, but it doesn't change your overall record. They don't get any bonus points. You know, one loss, one run loss counts the same in the standings as 100-run loss. It's the same thing. And I understand that we feel so powerless as fans because you're so emotionally invested in the team's success. And to see your beloved Bulldogs endure what we have the last couple of years, and especially last year. You know, it's like in 2022, we had all those injuries for the pitchers, right? And you kind of think, well, okay, I kind of get it. You know, last year was different. We had some injuries, but it wasn't nearly as significant last year. I'll just kind of say it for what it is. We just weren't a very good team. And I still suggest to you back in 2022, we probably didn't hit the portal hard enough. And we got a little bit caught up in the emotions of things. And that's the thing about managing a club. You know, sometimes you have to be, you know, very business-oriented, and as Lamontis was last year. And it's so interesting to me. There is still a very, 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 very small segment of our fan base that won't even give Chris Simonis credit for hiring Justin Parker. I don't think you realize how difficult a process that was. And yes, this is Mississippi State. We are a destination type job. And you really want to have that Mississippi State branding on you if you want to make a career in college baseball. I've had so many people that have told me, you know, playing for Ron Polk, playing wearing the M over S has opened so many doors for them professionally. It's true. Because you got that Bulldog branding on you. Say, they know how to do things down there. They know how to draw fans. They know how to build a great experience and a great program. And so, yeah, I want some of that. Give me all the Mississippi State I can get. I even had some people tell me, I won't mention names, I had some people tell me they were applying for a job in sports, and they wanted to kind of help themselves a little bit. They get on the phone and have somebody make a reference call on their behalf, and all of a sudden they went from being just another applicant to being, oh, that's a guy from Mississippi State. That's a guy that I talked to Larry Templeton about. That's a guy I talked to Ron Polk about, or Greg Byrne, or Scott Strickland. I talked to those guys, and it says a lot about our people over the years. They're willing to make those calls for you. And so I share that because of the fact Justin Parker was in a great situation at South Carolina. And yeah, they lost a ton of pitching, but you look up, they're finding their way to make it work. Monty and those guys did a great job in the portal. Got a bunch of guys to come over from Clemson. But all that understood, Justin Parker could have sat there at Columbia, South Carolina, and been in a, you know, great position, have a chance to host this year. And goodness, if Parker's there, maybe they're chasing something even more significant. But it wasn't like he was being forced out. They wanted him to stay. And let's not forget, Ray Tanner won two NAFL championships in South Carolina. So they've won multiple NAFL championships there. We've won one here. They arguably have the second best ballpark in the conference, if not the country, at Founders Park. It's amazing. It truly is. Not as good as Dudy Noble, but it's amazing. They don't have the player amenities that we do. But these are two jobs that are very, very similar. Very similar. Now, our history, our baseball tradition is a little more longstanding than theirs. And that and 50 cents will get you a cup of coffee at the Dillo truck stop. But my point in that is that there was absolutely no reason for Justin Parker to come here other than the fact to advance his own career and to do something very special. And Chris Simonis was able to pull that off. Provided the opportunity, and they got some things done. And now we're all benefiting from that. And so it is perfectly okay to be disappointed with our win-loss record for 22 and 23. And at the same time say, you know what, Simonis made a big-time hire, and it changed the trajectory of the program. It did. It's okay to say that. You can forgive yourself, right, and say it's okay. We don't have to sit here and hate watch this team. We feel very confident about what's ahead of us. And, of course, we're going to talk about our Arkansas on Friday's show. Matter of fact, I probably will record that again Thursday night so I can get on the road and get on up to Fayetteville. We already got our credentials approved. All our reservations are made, all that good stuff. Everything's ready to go. We're just waiting on the calendar to get here. But I don't know that that series will be like some of the more recent ones we've had up there. It's a much different Arkansas team. Hagan Smith, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. You don't see a guy from the left side throw four pitches and throw that fastball up there, sometimes 96, 97 from the left side. You don't see that. But it's been a bit of an adventure at other times. And they've kind of stumbled a little bit here the last couple of weeks. I mean, they're 3-3 in their last six. And we'll get into more of that on Friday. But I think Justin Parker really sees this as kind of that us against the world thing, that esprit de corps building opportunity. Now, I asked him specifically about the atmosphere, and he goes, we're not going to do anything any different. And he had a great quote to end our interview. He goes, it doesn't matter if you're the hero or the villain, the noise is still the same. It's true. It's true. You don't know who they're cheering for, right? But it is a very hostile environment up there. But the racket is the same for everybody. Everybody has to operate under the same atmosphere. Certainly, you'd love to have those people rooting for you. But in the moment, everybody's kind of waiting with bated breath on the same pitch. I'm not ready to just kind of sit back and say, you know what, we're going to be lucky to get our, you know, get a win up there. I'm just not willing to say that anymore. Now that we're deeper into it, beginning of the year, we all said when that schedule came out, that's going to be a tough weekend. And you know what? It still may be. But I don't know that this is the Arkansas team that we expected. And that's not to say they're not a great team. They are. I mean, they're ranked, what, fifth in the country for a reason. Or eighth, whatever it is this week. But my point being is that, you know, as long as Dave Van Horn is there, barring some major injuries, they're going to be good. They did lose a couple of pitchers. They announced earlier this week that they're out for the year. Neither of those guys were expected to pitch against us this weekend. So it didn't change anything. It's not like when J.B. Thompson, you know, got ejected and suspended from Vanderbilt. And as I noted, too, have you seen what's happened to Vanderbilt since Mississippi State went up there and broke them? I mean, since that J.D. Thompson thing, it is amazing. Not just the wins and losses. Go look at the runs scored against Vanderbilt pitching in the last eight, 9 games. It's ridiculous. Now, Foley Field and George has got a little something to do with that. But it makes me wonder, you know, it's like everybody's walking the straight and narrow now and, you know, kind of calls into question some other things. I mean, it's just my opinion. But it's interesting. But, yeah, I encourage you, if you're a Gene Page member, and you certainly all should be, go read that Justin Parker interview. I think that you will appreciate his insight. He is a very intelligent guy, and he speaks very quickly. So it kind of makes for a more difficult transcription, right? When because like you record it on your phone, you go sit down, you got to, you know, I'm old school. Like I do it myself, you know. I don't trust this AI stuff. And maybe that's because I'm an old guy. But my point being is there's another part of it too. You go back and listen to it again. There are things that maybe you didn't remember in the moment. Also makes you a better interviewer too. You go back and think, I should have asked a follow-up here. Should have done this, should have done that. But I share that with you just because I think you guys just see the results on the field. And let's be honest about it. At the end of the day, that's what matters most. You know, what happens between those chalk lines. But the product you're getting on the diamond has come from the philosophical changes, the practice planning changes. I think in many respects, the fact that we have a much more demanding pitching coach. I'm not talking poorly of Scott Foxhall. I love Scott Foxhall. Always will. Be grateful for Scott Foxhall as long as I live. Things just kind of got away from Scott there at the end. And that happens at some point to all of us. You know, it does. But Parker comes in, and I think he's a guy that's really holding them accountable. But it's not just kind of leading from behind and, you know, playing disciplinarian. I think when you're around Justin Parker, and many of you will probably get a chance to do that, you know, down the road, what you're going to realize is that I think that this is not a situation where you've got probably the best euphemism I can use here is that, you know, a good shepherd never drives their sheep. A good shepherd leads their sheep. And I think that's what we have in Justin Parker. I think you have a leader that has really been responsible for some pretty major turnarounds for guys like Tyson Harden and Tyler Davis and some others. And, hey, they hadn't all been winners. I mean, the bottom line is this. I mean, you know, you can't save everybody. But when you begin to look at like where we are today compared to where we are last year, it's maybe three steps back in the direction of being Mississippi State baseball. And I told you guys back during the fall, I was cautiously optimistic, and we got into spring training. I said, I'm no longer cautious, I'm just optimistic. And I think a lot of it really centers around the fact that we've been so much more competitive in the strike zone, even in the inter-squad scrimmages. You could just see the guys were a little more everything coming forward on the delivery. We were willing to compete in the zone. We weren't out there kind of nibbling, you know, trying to get a chase all the time. You know, we knew we were going to go out and attack hitters, but at the same time, not do batting practice. And so now it's all kind of come to fruition. And this is not about me or what I said or whatever, but you're seeing what we saw, me and Mike Nemeth. Mike covered every scrimmage. I was there for most of them. But I share that with you because of the fact this is not some overnight sensation thing. You know, these players have worked exceptionally hard in the offseason. They've worked exceptionally hard in the spring training. They've worked and worked and worked and bought into a new system. It's not just Justin Parker up there playing a video game. He got the buy-in from these players. And as a result, your players have gotten more comfortable and have gotten better. And we're all benefiting from that. All right, time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Right? Blair Chandler, our friend in the mortgage industry. Let's be sure and keep the business in the family when we can. And here's the deal, too. Guys, your mortgage is important, and you can mess up your life and hurt yourself financially by getting into a bad deal. Sometimes your thing is, get me in a house, I'll figure it out later. Well, the next thing you know, later comes and you got extremely high interest rates, and next thing you know, you put yourself in a bad situation. Deal with somebody that knows how to put you into a good deal. Yeah, the best deal possible. That's Blair Chandler. Give him a call or text today at 601-500-2344. Again, that's 601-500-2344. Guys, he can work in multiple states. So don't think, oh, that's just a Mississippi thing. No, reach out to Blair and ask him. He'll get you going, right? Whether you're looking for a game day condo, perhaps your first home, maybe you got a life reset in progress and you got to move. And sometimes you think, hey, I got all this stuff going on. I just need somebody to help. Well, you know what? If you entrust yourself into the services of Blair's capable hands, that's one less thing to worry about. Then you can begin to think about everything else because he has this handled for you. Get it off your plate. Get Blair Chandler involved. Again, 601-500-2344. All right, I wasn't going to do another firehouse list, but we have done firehouse before, but after CJ Snare passed away, I guess, you know, I need to do something. And I said, no, I don't want to do it. I don't, it kind of bums me out, but I thought, you know, many of you, like me, you know, maybe your late 80s, teenagers, and early 90s, 20-somethings, firehouse is a big part of our experience. It's true. Many of us, this is part of our date night mix. You know, we had to actually like record it on a cassette. We couldn't even burn CDs back then. Nowadays, you know, get the whole world's available on Apple Music. But back in those days, it took some effort. Put that date night tape together. Chances are you had some firehouse on there. And one thing I can tell you, if you're out on a date with a girl back in those days, and you put on some firehouse and something didn't happen, you know, whether she looked at you lovingly or she held your hand or gave you a little peck on the cheek, then it was time to bring her home because she wasn't the one. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I could be with a woman that didn't like firehouse. I'm just saying it for what it is. We all have our preferences. So here are the top 10 firehouse ballads, in my estimation. Now, some of these you're not going to be quite as familiar with because, unlike me, you kind of got off the firehouse bandwagon maybe after Firehouse 3. I was with them the entire time. And I'm told that there's still some other music kind of out there that maybe some deep cuts and things, some rarities and things like that. So we may get one more. I'll have that one too. And I remember years ago in the middle of all the Hugh Freeze stuff, I said I had a big confession to make on the show. And Brian Haydad and I had some fun with this. We teased it. I'm going to make a big confession. And all these people tuned in thinking I was going to say, well, I made the whole thing up. You know, of course, that's before the resignation and everything. That's when things are really getting heated. You know, all you people are coming for your boy on social media. Yeah, bring it. Like I care. But anyway, my confession was that I had every Firehouse album. And I bought some without telling Dana because I wanted to complete my collection. But yeah, I had them all, and I love them all. They're all very different to me, and of course, those first three albums are very special because it's a time in life, right? When kind of a coming of age, you begin to kind of realize what you want in life and in a relationship. So here we go. My top 10 Firehouse ballads. Number 10 of Category 5, and I remember when I bought this CD, I had to buy it from the Firehouse website, you know, because they weren't on a major record label at the time. Of course, things have changed a little bit nowadays, but I had to order directly from them. And I got it, and I love it. And there's a great track on there called I'd Do Anything. That's your number 10 track. I'd Do Anything from Category 5. Probably the biggest hit on that album was Acid Rain. A little different deal. All right, number 9. This is a great one, and it's not a romantic song. It's not a song about a relationship. It's a song really about yourself. It's a song of encouragement. It's off the Reach for the Sky album, which was their second album. And in many respects, I think you could even argue their best album. It's true. Those first three, it kind of depends on what mood I'm in. But I thought they really found their groove with Hold Your Fire, is actually the name of the album. I've listened to Reach for the Sky earlier. And I'm sorry, my mistake. But a lot of people got that first album, you know, you got Don't Treat Me Bad, and like, oh, this is great, this is cute. Oh, there's a power ballad. And I think the band really matured on album number 2, on Hold Your Fire. I think when you go back and you go back and listen to that album in its entirety, you'll see what I mean about that. Because so many bands out there were kind of a flash in the pan. And so they rode the success of a couple of singles from album number 1, and album number 2 was terrible. That wasn't the case for these guys. But it's a great track called Hold the Dream. And it's basically, and it kind of fits in the vein of a lot of things that I share on this show. You know, whenever you stop dreaming, it's time to die. You've heard that before too. It's true. That's a Shannon Hoon lyric from Blind Melon. But you got to have dreams in life. You can't just sit around and, you know, raise kids and pay the bills and call that living. It's not. You got to have something of your own. You do. All right, number 8. From the Good Acoustics album, which was great, and Firehouse should have been invited by MTV to do their own thing, and Firehouse is like, you know what, hey, we'll do it ourselves. We don't need you. You know, and MTV put some absolute jokes towards the end of the MTV Unplugged series. When it first started, it was so incredible. You had all these new arrangements. You'd heard songs in a way you'd never heard before. It kind of changed the meaning in some respects, and Firehouse, of course, had so many great hits, but you know, MTV decided in the 90s that anything that was left over from the 80s wasn't cool anymore. So they wouldn't let those guys on. So they recorded the Good Acoustics album. So they did acoustic renditions of some of their biggest hits. And they had some original material too. And No One at All. That's a relationship song, but it's really more of a sad love song. You know, and it's like, you know, don't take our love for granted type song. Because in the end, you might find out that you have no one at all. It's a great song. It really is. Kind of a cautionary tale. All right, number 7. Another real song of encouragement off the last studio album called Prime Time. And the title itself was somewhat dated. But the music, again, I thought was really, really good. Not that they changed with the times, but it didn't sound like 80s, but it sounded a lot like Firehouse, as it should. It's a great track called Let Go. And it's basically, again, one of these recovery principles. Like, and I heard something recently on the Nothing More video for House on Sand. And they always have this guy that's like the narrator that, speaks on the album. And he made a great point. It's like, you know, in order to live life, you have to give up. The euphemism that he used is, you know, when you draw your breath in and you hold it, you'll die. But if you let it go, it comes back to you. And it's the same thing. Like when I first got into recovery, it's like everybody's like, well, Steve, just let go. Stop trying to control everything. And I know some of the most miserable people that I know as adults, to try to hold everybody and everything in a place. And sometimes it's so wonderful just to kind of let go. It's like whatever happens is going to happen, right? I'm going to do my part. I'm not just going to live life, you know, oblivious to what's happening around me. But I'm not going to try to control people. I'm not going to control people, places, and things. I can control me. I can control my reaction to things. But you just let go. And like people say all the time, let go and let God. You know, well, God's going to do what he wants to anyway, contrary to what you may hear. But to put your faith and trust in him or a higher being or a higher power, whatever you want to call it, you know, I choose to call him God. But to just say, you know what? I know that God's got me. I'm going to suit up every day, and I'm going to do the next right thing, and I know that God will bless my labor. That's what I believe. I believe in working hard. And I believe if I do my part, he will do his. And my old college roommate, Jim Winter, we called him Thermos, and that's a reference to the movie The Jerk. But Jim said something one day, and I'll never forget this. He said, God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself, but not one thing more. That is absolutely correct. We have to do our part. But there also has to be a measure of trust involved too. All right, number six. Similar to a previous song on this list, and this is a great one. This is a relationship song. And it is also from category five. It's a great track called Dream. And it's basically about kind of having the dream of love and unity kind of realized. It is an absolutely beautiful song. I think it is one of the best vocal performances in CJ Snare's career. And I think it's probably, if that song had been released in, say, 90, I think everybody would know that song. Like, you know so many of their other hits, you would know that one. It just happened to got released after you had moved on and you were listening to, you know, Blink 182 or some crap like that. All right, number five, also from Good Acoustics, and this is probably a song that people should listen to anyway. It's a very open-minded song in many respects. I know a lot of people have some very rigid boundaries when it comes to relationships and things like that, and I get it. I won't tell anybody how to live or love. I won't. But it's a great song called Love Don't Care. And basically, it's about love doesn't care who you love, right? And I don't want to step into it today, but the thing that I have learned about that is, like, I believe the heart wants what the heart wants. Now, there's some other things out there in the world these days that, you know, there's masquerading as love that's not love. And said, but Steve, who are you to judge? Well, a person that's known love. Yeah, it's true. I don't know what a person feels in their heart or the values that they hold true. Don't know. That's between them and their maker. But I know this. I know there have been some times in my life I've convinced myself that I have been in love for an extremely short time, sometimes 30 minutes or so. But my point being is that when you truly love somebody and you truly love them, not just loving the person that you are when you're around them, which is a great benefit of being in love, is that somebody makes you better. But when you love somebody and you would do anything for them, your heart will tell you that. Because sometimes we get caught up in infatuation and or lust. You know, I've been a victim of that too. Because, you know, my whole attitude back in those days is like, you know, if some pretty girl's willing to do this for me, then I must be cool too, you know. And so that's what happens. So you don't need to get caught up in all that. But to truly love somebody through thick and thin, that really kind of defines what it is. Because, you know, people say, well, you know, love is unconditional. Love is conditional and in some respects. But I think even when relationships don't work out, they're still a part of that too. The love stays with you. You may not offer it as freely, but there will be those days when you're out on the interstate by yourself and a certain song comes on and you kind of reminisce a little bit. And that means you want to go running back to that person, but you always have love in your heart for that person, even if they're no longer in your lives. And maybe that's the good thing. But there are other people that always say, you know, if I never missed them, I never loved them. It's true. All right, number four, great, great track. And it could be used as a friendship or a romantic type song. Big hit off of album 3, because there was the self-titled album, Hold Your Fire. Then there was 3, then Acid Rain, Cat 5, O2. And then Primetime. Of course, in the middle of all that, they had a couple compilation albums as well. And Good Acoustics in the middle of all that, too. Basically an EP. But Here For You. Not the Rembrandt's version that you guys know from Friends. Always Here For You. It's a great track. And again, it doesn't matter if it's friend, family, whatever. All right, number three. When Dane and I had our renewal service, it's hard for me to remember now how long ago that was. It's been over 10 years, 12, 13 years, whatever it was. And she was turning 40, and I guess thought I was going to trade her in for a younger model, which wasn't true. But at some point, we all go through that. People tell me I'm in the middle of a midlife crisis. If that's the case, I'm going to live forever. And so I share that with you because I did this highlight video of like our lives, like put all these pictures and did like a little slideshow. And this is the song that I used. I Live My Life For You. That also is from the album 3. And it's such a beautiful song. And from the very beginning, you know, it starts at, you know, you're everything to me. And that's how I feel. I'm the kind of person, when I love somebody and when I've loved people in the past, and I'm not the kind of person, I didn't really know truly what love was in my 20s. I didn't. I was somewhat jaded and bitter. But the reality of it is that there's some people I really cared about. But when I've been involved in a relationship, if you know anything about me, from work, from the show, from writing books or whatever, when I'm in, I'm all the way in. There is no middle ground with me. I'm either in or I'm out, you know. But when I'm in, I'm all the way in. And so this is kind of like that. You know, it's like, and I tell people all the time, you know, it's like when I go speak and things like that. And, you know, like if it ever went down, you know, and there was a choice to be made, you know, I would take a bullet for her. I'd take a bullet for my family. I wouldn't even have to think about it because I've already thought about it. You understand what I'm saying? And there have been some other people in my past, you know, that I dated. I wouldn't push them out in front of the bullets, but I certainly wouldn't jump in front of them for them. It's true. It's a difference between dating and being in a relationship. All right, number two, also along the lines of Dana, the very first time I told her I loved her, the very first time. We were in her little sister's car. We were going through the car wash at the IP paper mill in Natchez, Mississippi. And I just didn't have the words yet. So I let CJ Snare sing the words. And then when the song was over, I told her I loved her for the very first time. And then when she was out of New Mexico, which nearly killed me, I had CJ do a cameo video for her. And we have mutual friends. And I've met CJ before, but... I had a mutual friend. I said, hey, I need this kind of in a hurry. And so do you mind texting him for me? And of course, he's supposed to give me a minute and it gives me like 2.5, you know, and then he messages me and makes sure it was what I wanted and everything. And it just went so over and beyond. It was tough, though. I mean, it really was. It was tough. But it's When I Look Into Your Eyes. That's your number two track today. When I Look Into Your Eyes from the Hold Your Fire album. But number one, though, you got to know. You got to know. And the story behind this, too, and I've seen so many video interviews with CJ Snare over the years that it's one of those deals where this is stuff popping up here. So it's one of those deals where the record company has an idea of what... of what's happening, you know, in music. And they say, hey, the album is great, but we need a power ballad. Do we have any other things kind of on the cutting room floor? And lo and behold, CJ says, hey, I've got a song. And he had wrote it when he was doing like solo stuff at a Holiday Inn bar. Like he wrote the song Love of a Lifetime and it became the biggest hit in Firehouse. How about that? Amazing. Amazing. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, please let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on Twitter at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. And I'm on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R, but also you can find our great list on Spotify or that same Dogmatic67 handle. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. I do. And one of the reasons that I do is because I can get what I want for who I want at Campus Bookmart. You know, a lot of places specialize in stuff. They specialize in Mississippi State. And those are the people that I care about, right? And your graduation's right here upon us, of course. As I've mentioned, the diploma frames are a great gift idea. Grandparents, favorite aunts, uncles, it's a great gift idea. And you can find the best Mississippi State diploma frames at Campus Bookmart. These are bulldog people that run this place, right? They're not going to sell you a Mississippi State shirt. It's crimson and white. Many of you had to deal with that when you bought NAFL championship shirts through some other entities out there. That's what you get from shopping online sometimes. Deal with people that know Mississippi State and love Mississippi State as much as you do. And that's the fine folks at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town, Visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. It's BSR. That stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson, and that gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, you know it, absolutely incomplete. Let's take a look back at the night that was in Southeastern Conference baseball. Kentucky and Xavier, that game got canceled. Probably won't be made up. And we're going to go over some regional hosts and stuff, too, here shortly. That's worth discussing. Tennessee, a little bit of a tussle with Queens. Did you expect that? I didn't. Tennessee, your new number one, wins 6-3. I really thought that they were going to just run away with that thing. But kind of a slow start, and they kind of put it together late. But, it's a win. A win's a win. South Carolina goes to Winthrop, and they knock those guys down 15-3. Your Gamecocks currently rank 13th in the country, just ahead of us. I think they're similarly situated with Mississippi State. That's an important thing to consider, too. You're going to watch this series with Georgia and South Carolina this weekend. That's big for Mississippi State's standing in the SEC standings and, of course, regional hosting possibilities. Florida wins 4-1 over South Florida. So congratulations to the Gators on winning a midweek game. That has been a chore for them this year. And who would have ever thought Florida would be in this position? I didn't. Alabama, a tussle with Troy. And Troy is another one of those teams from the G5 that you really don't want them showing up on your regional as a 2 or a 3. I would not want to play them as a 2-3 matchup. Because, you know, everybody's got an ace pitcher. And this is a team that's done a really good job this year. They nearly take down Alabama last night. But Alabama wins 7-6. Alabama's a good offensive club. Hammeter, you know, kid that got thrust into the lineup last weekend because of the food poisoning issue with Alabama. He had 2 jacks last night for Alabama. Vanderbilt and Louisville, congratulations to Vanderbilt for winning a game. I don't know if you saw this. The Vanderbilt has not, since J.D. Thompson got ejected in that Sunday game against Florida, counting that game, they are 3-6 in their last 9. Of course, they got absolutely shelled over the weekend. And you look at those pitching numbers, and yes, Foley Field is a factor there. But when have you ever seen Vanderbilt get 10-run rolled in back-to-back games and nearly happened again on Sunday? Georgia is an offensive machine, especially in that ballpark. And you can draw your own conclusions from that. Auburn takes down Georgia Tech on a very offensive night. Butch Thompson talked about that. Both teams hit some home runs. Auburn just hit more. And that's a good quality midweek win. Georgia Tech, a good solid Power 5 program from the ACC, even though the ACC is not, it's not the SEC. Texas A&M absolutely skull drags Rice 16-3. The Aggies now number 3. And I don't know that I would want to play A&M on Tuesday after them losing the series to LSU. Probably a more renewed focus in that dugout. LSU, speaking of them, they narrowly escape, but they earn a win over Northwestern State, the Demon Deacons of Natchitoches, Louisiana, 6-5. And then tonight, Murray State, the Racers, will visit Ole Miss. So it's interesting kind of see this whole thing kind of playing out the way that it is. But if you're looking for some college baseball tonight, you can watch Ole Miss and Murray State on the ESPN app, right? All right, let's take a minute here and look at some regional projections. We'll start with D1 baseball. Those guys, I've told you guys before, I really like those guys. I respect the fact that they get out and they go see games. There's a lot of people out there that call themselves kind of experts in certain sports, and they sit at home in the lazy boy with their laptop in their lap, and they're hoping you'll never notice, and you'll never call them out on it, right? They're just going to cover from the couch. Well, I'm not built that way, and I'm glad that D1 baseball isn't either. To me, that gives their rankings and projections a little more credibility because of the fact that they're seeing these teams play in person. You can say, but Steve, what can you learn in person that you can't see on TV? Well, it's like anything else. Why do you go to a concert? Well, to go have a good time. Right? Same thing. To hear a band put it on live, it's a different dynamic. It's true. All right, so let's take a look at D1 baseball. So here's what I'm just going to run down the top 16 seeds. That's really all you care about, right? It's like, Steve, are we going to be one of those? Because our RPI right now is 19, contrary to some other social media traffic. So they have Kentucky as the number one overall seed. And when you begin to think about what's remaining on that schedule, they could pull this off. They absolutely could. Now, being a number one seed has kind of been the kiss of death, though. Since they changed the format back in 99, Miami of 99 is the only team that was the number one overall seed that actually won the NFL championship. All right, the Kentucky Regional is paired up with the Columbia South Carolina Regional. They have South Carolina as the 16 seed. 16. The number two overall seed, and of course this is based on right now. This is not necessarily, it's a projection, but it's based on current data. Texas A&M is your number two overall seed. They have them paired up with the regional, the number 15 regional, the UC Santa Barbara regional out there. And that could be an interesting dynamic too. The number three overall seed, Tennessee. It's interesting, D1 baseball ranks them number one in their poll and then number three in their seeding. I understand it's a different list. They have them paired up with Georgia, who gets in as the 14 seed. So Tennessee and Georgia could meet in Knoxville with a trip to Omaha on the line there. The number four overall seed is Clemson. They have them paired up with Duke of the ACC. So a lot of, you know, conference foes set to meet in round two, provided they advance. The number five, Arkansas Razorbacks, the Fayetteville Regional. And that would be paired up with the number 12-seeded Mississippi State Bulldogs. So you got the Bulldogs ahead of Duke. You got the Bulldogs ahead of Georgia. You got the Bulldogs ahead of UC Santa Barbara and ahead of South Carolina. I could get on board with that. It would be interesting, to say the least, to have to take on Arkansas in a Super Regional. Could you imagine that atmosphere? And they've got a stadium up there that'll hold some fans too, so you guys would get to come. Now, they have an interesting regional set up for us. Now, of course, it never goes exactly as you expect. They have Oklahoma State as the two. Oklahoma State, in my estimation, one of the top 15 programs in the history of college baseball. Number three seed, Louisiana Tech. So Lane Burrow's a chance to come back to Duty Noble and see what we've done with the place. And then the number four seed, your SoCon winners, or expected winners, Samford, a team we've already played. Played them at their place. It's a bit of a tussle, and we win the ball game. But that would be a very interesting regional. Oklahoma State versus Tech in a round game one matchup. And the way Lemonis has done it in the past is we play early. And, of course, everybody complains, says, oh, why can't we just play at night? And it's because of weather. You know, we go ahead and play our game. You know, we get dinner and go on to bed. And then everybody else will play. And, you know, what if there's a rain delay, right? If you play that late game, you got to turn right back around and play again early the next day. And so it's just that's the way you do it. And I agree. All right, the number six overall seed, North Carolina, paired up with Virginia. Again, another ACC versus ACC bracket. They have Vanderbilt getting in there as a three seed. Alabama as a two in the Chapel Hill bracket. I don't know that I agree with that. I don't know that Alabama will rise that high. The number seven seed, Florida State, paired up against number 10, Oklahoma. The East Carolina Regional in Greenville, they're the number eight. And the dreaded 8-9 matchup in baseball is very similar to that in basketball. Teams are obviously similarly situated from a talent standpoint. But I tell you this, East Carolina would have NC State as their two. That's tough. But I like the Indiana State matchup too. Indiana State would have Nebraska as a two, TCU as a three, and then the Billikens of St. Louis as a four. So that's the D1 baseball projections. Let's click over real quickly here to the Baseball America projections. They're not quite as optimistic as D1 baseball is about us. and which is interesting considering at times that they've ranked us ahead of D1 baseball in D1 baseball's rankings, but it still wouldn't be a bad draw. All right, so let's look real quickly here. They also have Kentucky as the number one overall seed, paired up with UC Santa Barbara as a 16. They have Texas A&M as the 2 seed, paired up against Duke. And then they have, in the Duke regional, they have us as the number 2 seed. So basically, if you do the math here, the way that this, you know, kind of the crow flies here, they have us as the 18th best team in the country based on the regional projections. Because the top 16 teams host, they have us at 18, which means there is some upward mobility there. They have Clemson 3, Georgia paired up at 14, Tennessee at 4, paired up with Indiana State at 13, Chapel Hill is 5, North Carolina paired up with South Carolina is 12. So they like South Carolina a lot more than us. Arkansas 6, paired up with the Virginia Regional at 11. Florida State at 7, paired up with Oklahoma as a 10. And then East Carolina against Oregon State. You'll notice Oregon State not included in the hosting locations for D1 baseball. That's the one of the schools that I brought up. Some of these schools ahead of us in the RPI are not going to host, right? And I think Oregon State could be one of those. I truly do. And let's look at that real quick here. I like to use the Warren Nolan RPI. I had somebody tell me years ago that it's the closest one to the NCAA model. And so it has Mississippi State at 19. And again, remember, it's not the top 16 RPI teams. RPI is only a factor. Because if it was, then you'd have Alabama hosting. Alabama's RPI is 12. And Alabama has a conference record of 7-10. Is that right? 7-10? Is that right? No, it's not right. 10-14 is what they are. So they have a losing record in conference. They're not going to host with a losing record in conference. And they're not going to be able to get to 16 unless something absolutely crazy happens. So Alabama, again, right ahead of Mississippi State, they're not going to host. Oregon State is at 15. And again, a couple spots ahead of Mississippi State. And so I don't see them hosting. And again, you know, when you look at their record, you look at, well, it's 36-12, and you know, but you look at strength of schedule, right? And they just haven't played teams. I don't think there's any way with that strength of schedule. Mississippi State's SOS, 18. Oregon State, 62. Big, big difference. The only team with a higher strength of schedule is Indiana State at 65. Right? And so you feel like Indiana State's probably going to get that G5 spot. But you start doing the math here, and you think, okay, Oregon State's not going to host. Alabama's not going to host. So that would put State right there around 17. And so then you've got some decisions to make, right? So don't freak out. Now, would you take UC Santa Barbara over Mississippi State as a host? I say no, but you've got to get a West Coast host because UC Santa Barbara is 32-12 with a strength of schedule of 81. Mississippi State's 32-16 with a strength schedule of 18. And so I think in that respect, they've got to have one Western site. So it's got to be UC Santa Barbara or Oregon State. I don't think it's and Oregon State. I think it's one of those two. And so you start beginning to see the dominoes ahead. I think everybody on in the top 20 is probably capable of hosting a regional and howling these crowds, with maybe the exception of Dallas Baptist. But, of course, they're behind Mississippi State, and nobody has them projected in. Also, a strength of schedule, 73. So we're right where we want to be, and we're kind of on the cusp of where we don't want to be. But the thing about it is everybody has us in right now, in. And we can play our way into, you know, a very interesting scenario. Now, what's interesting, too, when I look at like Warren Nolan, you know, they have this little predictor thing, and this, you know, you can't really go by that because they have picked some wild things in the past. But let me see if I can find it for you here, just to kind of give you an idea. Predicted results. Here we go. from Warren Nolan. So they have us getting swept by Arkansas, which is certainly possible, and then they have us beating North Alabama and taking 2 out of 3 from Missouri. All right, so that gets you to 16 wins. Could you host at 16? Yes. Would you feel comfortable at 16? No. I think in order to feel reasonable, you got to get to 17. I think you got to get 1 in Arkansas, and you'd love to be able to sweep Missouri. And if you're able to do that, that gives you 18. I just don't think that's where it's going to shake out. I think we'll end up with 17. I think we'll get a combination of 3 wins in the conference between these next 2 weekends, and I think that should be enough. But if you could get 4, I think it absolutely is enough. I think you look at it and say, you know what, this is good. And of course, that North Alabama game, they're 16-31 with an RPI of 279. And I agree with Kendall Rogers. I've said that before. Number one, another thing I agree with Kendall on is that we need to have divisions in college baseball, because you shouldn't have Bowling Green having the same caliber of vote as LSU or Monmouth and Mississippi State. You know, those schools that are not committed to baseball shouldn't have much say. But we don't get to vote in hockey, right? So you understand my point. So I share that with you because I think it's important. A lot of people panicked and freaked out because we lost the Sunday game, like the Sunday game was going to hurt us more in the RPI than the 2 wins helped us. But we're right there. We're right there. We're not finished. Still got work to do. But we're right there. And we're in a position that most people never expected. I, to be honest with you, I didn't expect us to be in the hosting conversation. And I'm probably one of the more optimistic people there is about Mississippi State baseball, because I believe in the M over S. But at the beginning of this year, I was like, we'll be a solid number 2. Which didn't mean we'd be in one of the top 20, 24 seeds. I just thought we'd be a number 2 rather than a 3. I thought we'd be a solid road regional headed to an ACC school, and that would be a step in the right direction. Of course, like all of you, we go 0-2 out there. I'd feel rotten. But my point being is that I believe Mississippi State might actually be a little bit ahead of what we anticipated this year. I think everybody can admit that. There'll be a few people out there that say, oh, I saw it all along. Well, I didn't read those comments in the preseason. But we got to keep grinding. And, of course, I'm going to be on the road this weekend bringing you everything at jeanspage.com from Mississippi State and Arkansas. And we'll do a Dude Effect show Thursday night, probably do that. And I'll probably go ahead and record the Boneyard Thursday night. And so, because I want to get up and get on the road. And I say that every time, and then I'm getting tired. I'm getting old. I used to could come right home from a baseball game and go ahead and record the show right after the game. I can't do that anymore. But I'm getting old, man. I'm going to age out at some point. But all that understood, I think Mississippi State is in a position now that if we do what's expected of us, that we should expect to host. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Just Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Google is your friend for the most part. Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and their Facebook page is going to come up, and you can just kind of peruse through the amenities that are available to you when you book a great trip to Stark Vegas and stay at the renovated clubhouse, former country club clubhouse. A lot of room. Huge back porch area, that fire pit area, kind of tucked away, well off the highway, just 5 minutes from the Mississippi State campus. You got one neighbor out there, so you can't throw a rager, but you can go out there and have a great time with your friends, your family. Whether you got a work group coming to town, save a little money instead of booking 5 hotel rooms and just book this house. And then, hey, you can go buy groceries and stock that kitchen, get you some snacks, use that wet bar. It's great. Whether it's a staycation, whether it's a guy's weekend, girl's weekend, couple's weekend, or a family weekend, they can accommodate you. I love it, man. I've been out there. I've had friends that have used it, and they'll tell you it's a great place to be. It's a great place to stay. 5 bedrooms, 2 baths, and, of course, again, that full-service kitchen. But some great communal areas where you can kind of sit and chill and watch football or baseball or whatever. But I think one of the main reasons you book a place like that is just to kind of be off the beaten path a bit. Yeah. Sit out there on that back porch, watch the sunset, or maybe get out there around that fire pit. Just sit out there and just kind of chew the breeze, if I can get it out. And here's the deal, too. if you are considering booking, when you pull up the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you're going to have options to book through Airbnb, VRBO, or the Evolve website. Now, you do what you want to do, but if you pick the Evolve website, I can give you a promo code to save you a few bucks. That's promo code BSR10. Get you 10% off your stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Nobody else offering you that. Yeah, be sure and check it out today, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Okay, let's get caught up on this portal traffic as best we can, okay? All right, so Bay Job, or Joby, elected to commit to Kansas. And here's the deal, too. Extremely talented player. A guy that we absolutely needed to have and wanted to have. He was not a day one starter. But he is a guy that had been maybe a pass rushing specialist for us this year. And then could have been a dude for us next year. But we didn't get him. He opted to go to Kansas. That's the reality of it. Sources were kind of mixed on this one. You know, it felt pretty good. Never felt great. Then I had another source that just told me Stevens is too close to call. You know, and you know, of course, Kansas tried to get him to commit on his visit and not visit Mississippi State. So when he does take the trip, you feel like, okay, maybe we're in a good spot. The timing of it worked out exactly as they told me. He was going to take the visit, make a decision early this week. Well, he has. He opts for Kansas. So we move on. Mississippi State did pick up a commitment from a defensive lineman. However, he is a guy that's going to play with both hands in the ground. That is former Youngstown State defensive lineman by way of Illinois, Anthony Johnson. Right around 6'3", 300 pounds. He's a guy that could play inside or play some as a five. It's a veteran guy. He's had some production. He's a good get, but it's not what we were hoping, right? We were hoping to get an edge. And at this point, there's some other guys that we're on, but Anthony Johnson coming in basically means you've got zero spots available, but I have been told that we have one guy that's probably going to go on medical, and you'd like to take another corner if you can get one. Now, Kobe Miner took an official visit this past weekend. Again, feel pretty good about that one. Not great. I think it's down between us and SMU and say, Steve, how can we lose a guy to SMU? Well, he's from Lake Dallas, Texas. A lot of friends and family around there. So that is a real thing. You know, it's not a situation where it's just some kid with no allegiances or ties geographically or making a decision and we may lose to SMU. So you're beating the hometown, home city school. That's who you're competing against here. Kobe Miner, very good player. In the event that doesn't work out, I think then you kind of shift your attention to Montre Miller, who played at West Virginia. He is a guy that expected to play corner. I'm told he could play nickel. And so I still expect one more commitment. I think it'll be between those two guys. But you're running out of spots, finally, right? And again, that's a testament, too, to good roster management. Because how many of you, when you saw all these guys go in the portal, did you panic and run to Facebook and say, are we even going to have enough players to play next year? I mean, it's so ridiculous. I mean, it's worse than the portal, to be honest with you. It's worse than the portal, some of the social media commentary that goes along with this. You don't have to like it, but it's time that you accepted it. We are going to have players transfer out in every sport at the end of each semester. Go ahead and get ready for it. The sooner you accept that, the happier you're going to be. By the same token, you're always going to have new players coming in. And, of course, the outbound traffic goes first because they have to declare in a certain amount of time. It's a much different deal for those making a decision. So, nearly full. Technically, I guess we are full. But we'll see how things go, right? We'll see how things kind of go and progress here. And, of course, Tyler Lockhart of Winona announced his decision to commit to Auburn. Now, people are like, oh my gosh, Steve, guys, the sky is not falling here because I don't think that commitment sticks. I don't. Mississippi State has been the leader throughout this process, and I was told the only thing that could happen is Mississippi State screwed it up. Auburn came in, made some big offers, and so he's committed to Auburn. I suspect this is going to go down just like the Fat Clark thing did. We expected Fat Clark to commit to Mississippi State last year. He committed to Ole Miss. It was a surprise. By the time we got into the summer, Fred had decommitted from Ole Miss, saw the error of his ways, committed to Mississippi State. I expect this to play out the same way. So, no, I'm not panicking. There's always that one or two people that you're like, I don't know if I can trust all this. It's recruiting. It's not an exact science, ever. And some people aren't cut out to follow recruiting. It's true. I can't tell you how many times that I've had guys tell me one thing and do another. And now with NIL being attached to all this, you really can't take people at their word. It's true. Used to, it would say, well, you know, I've had kids tell me, I'm not even going to go to Ole Miss to visit. And then, like, the next day, they're at an Ole Miss camp. Well, you know, you can't trust that kid. We've had some other guys, too. You know, they get a high school coach involved that wants to kind of steer their recruiting process. And the kid may not have any intention of going up there, but ends up going. You know, because maybe there's a high school coach trying to get a job on the college ranks, and this is what he's got to do to kind of, you know, get his foot in the door. You know, it happens all the time. It's about relationships. And I can't tell you how many guys over the years have visited other schools that really didn't have any interest. And there's some that have come here in kind of the same vein. So Ty Lockhart is a fantastic player. He is the top defensive prospect in the state of Mississippi. But no, I do not expect that commitment to last. Now, it'll probably take a while. But when you begin to think about where's he going to be this summer? Okay, because Fred and TJ, Tyler's older brother, are going to be moving to Mississippi State here in less than a month's time. He'll be here to help with move-in. He'll be around your guys. He'll be up here this summer. Where's he going to be all season? You think he's going to be making a trip to Auburn 8 times a season? No. No. He's going to be here watching Mississippi State play. He's going to be around your players. Not to mention, do you really think that he wants to put his parents in a situation where they have to pick and choose where they go each weekend? Now, they wouldn't be the first brothers to pick opposite schools. You know, we went through this with Jaden and Justin Wally, and the truth of the matter is we screwed that up. Justin Wally was ready to commit to Mississippi State early on, and then some people on the staff at the time wanted him to come to camp, which made no sense to me. I thought his film spoke for itself. And so then by the time we get serious about him, well, he's committed to Minnesota and has kind of made up his mind and has had a great career up there. So we kind of shot ourselves in the foot there. This is a much different dynamic. This staff's been willing to take Tyler Lockhart since the day they got here, right? So this is not a situation where somebody has kind of screwed the pooch here. I go back to the Dante Dowdell situation. You know, when Dante, he was ready to commit to Mississippi State. And then we weren't ready to take him. Thought he may be a linebacker. Thought we need to get him to camp. Well, next thing you know, he commits to Oregon. Goes up there and gets in the transfer portal and visits here, but didn't work out, you know. But this is a different deal. This is not a situation where State has been reluctant to take and push an in-state kid. This is not a situation here where the Bulldogs have slow played a very talented player and lost him. That's not the case. And again, I fully expect him to be a Bulldog. So, yeah, is it a good thing he committed to Auburn? Absolutely not. But is it a reason to throw your hands up? No. No, not at all. And, again, I feel very confident that things are going to work out as we expected them to. I had hoped that he would commit to Mississippi State sooner and help us kind of put this class together. I think Kamario Taylor needs a little help in that. Let's kind of get the Mississippi train rolling a little bit here. And, you know, we've had some guys that we've been very interested in gone elsewhere. Mason Dunn out of Tupelo, who I think may be the best corner in the state this year, seemed to be leaning Mississippi State's way. Now he's committed to Ole Miss, you know. And so, and NIL is always a factor, you know. And the thing about it is now it's legal. Now there's going to be some changes. Going to be some changes in the years ahead. As I've mentioned on the show recently, you know, big push right now to have a collective bargaining agreement, which probably means unionization, right? But it also will have the schools themselves. And if you've kept up with Ross Dellinger's work, that's Mississippi State alum Ross Dellinger, he's talked about around 22% of revenue is supposed to be allocated for pay for players, you know. And that's a conversation I don't think we ever expected to have maybe 3-4 years ago. But I know when this whole thing first came up, so that was one of the things they talked about, is let's have a cohesive model where everybody gets taken care of. And then Mark Emmert and his lackeys didn't act. And the next thing you know, these state laws start popping up. And then it's the Wild Wild West. But it does appear that there is some help on the horizon. But that's not to say there's not some dark money out there, because there is. There is, which is stupid. Because, you know, you could, like, if you are part of the Gator Collective or whatever, and you say, hey, I really want this player, how much is it going to take to get him? Oh, well, this is the money. Well, let's go give it to him, right? Now, there's a problem with illegal inducements on the school's behalf in that scenario, but there's no reason for you as John Q. Gator or Bulldog or Rebel, whatever, to ever be in a situation where you're, you know, making a cash payment to anybody. I mean, that's just lunacy. Not when you have a vehicle that you can do this to protect yourself. It makes no sense. But, yeah, we're almost done with football recruiting for the 2024 class. And then you guys, in less than 4 weeks, we're going to be out on the practice fields taking a look at some of these guys in person. And we're going to bring you the most comprehensive coverage available on that on the camps. And excited about that, to say the least. My hope is that I have to miss some of the camp and that my staff will have to handle that, because I hope to be covering postseason baseball somewhere. And I know that's just a big deal for all of us, right? It's such a big deal for all of us to see Mississippi State, you know, back in these postseason projections and things like that. And not in week one. You were 2 weeks away from the end of the regular season. Still, plenty of work left to do. And again, on Friday, we're going to get into Arkansas. One of the things, I'll go ahead and kind of give you a tip on. I wrote an article about this morning, and I got a tip on this too. Began to kind of dig into it a little bit, and based on some of Dave Van Horn's commentary on Monday after their Swatters Club meeting, which is kind of like the Diamond Club thing, but they meet regularly, he made some comments that kind of lend itself to thinking that maybe they don't throw Mason Molina on Sunday. And you can read more about that on the Gene's Page article. It's free. Will State see a shakeup in the Arkansas pitching rotation this weekend? And I would say probably so. I think they will go with Hagen Smith, as they should, one of the most prolific pitchers in the country. Brady Tigard, of course, a product of the Mississippi high school system, but he grew up a Razorback. You know, he did. And I know a lot of our people are like, how did we miss on this kid? Well, it's the same way that Arkansas would probably miss on your kids, right? If you had the choice to go to Mississippi State or Arkansas and you grew up a Bulldog, you're going to Mississippi State. And so the same applies to Brady. I've met his family. They're nice people. They really are. And I got a lot of friends that know them well from up there in DeSoto County. And so I'm happy for this young man. I am. And I hope he has a great year, but I hope Saturday's miserable. He didn't have a good Saturday last weekend against Kentucky, so maybe that kind of lingers on. But Tigard, if nothing else, will serve as kind of an opener, work 3 or 4 innings and turn over to the bullpen. It's got some depth. But don't be surprised when the release comes out on Thursday if Mason Molina is not on Sunday. And he did roll an ankle earlier this season, just a few weeks ago. And so maybe he's not quite back, because he has not been the same since that Florida game. Missed a start and then comes back and goes like 3 1/3 and then 3 innings. So I think he probably moves off Sunday, maybe to give him a week off to rest. Not sure. But I think it may be a situation that we may see somebody we weren't expecting. And that's my job, right, is to make sure that you guys have the latest information that I have. I think Gage Wood is probably going to end up being the Sunday starter. Now, that could change, but I suspect when the release comes out tomorrow, they'll either be TBD or Gage Wood. That's what I expect. I just, you know, the tip was good, and again, watching Van Horn's comments, he kind of confirms it without actually saying it. So, and again, Friday, we'll get into that, and I'll if we have a chance to kind of look back and see what the night was like in baseball for the Southeastern Conference. And real quickly, let's take a quick look, because the next, before we get together, there will be some SEC baseball games played. A lot of baseball today. And it's so fun, too. You know, it's like people ask me, Steve, how do you feel about the portal? Well, I'm a little disappointed on the defensive side, as many of you are. And so that's got to get fixed, right? I mean, that's got to be something that we get handled. We got to do a better job in that respect. Offensively, I think we've done exceptionally well in the portal. But, yeah, I'm a little disappointed we didn't get a difference maker or two on defense, especially considering how many new pieces we're going to have. And of course, you'd love for those guys to have been here in the spring, but kind of is what it is. I can't make it any better or worse than it is, because it is what it is. You know, we could sit here and whine and cry about it, but that's not going to get us anywhere. You know, it just, I trust Jeff Lebby, and I think Jeff's attitude towards baseball, towards football is great. And the guy's a good recruiter. He's just got to kind of get his legs on him a little bit. So the Thursday night game, there's only one series this week that opens on Thursday, and it is one of interest for you as Georgia travels to South Carolina, a 15-13 matchup. And, of course, as I mentioned, Georgia takes this series. It gives State a little breathing room. If things work out the way that we expect, then Georgia and Mississippi State would be tied at the end of the regular season with a number five spot, and State would then earn the five spot by virtue of the head-to-head tiebreaker, and Georgia would be the sixth seed in the SEC tournament. I don't think there's any chance of us making the top four unless we really pull some things out, surprise ourselves, and maybe get some help out there. It's going to be very difficult. But with Arkansas and A&M playing each other, I mean, one of those teams sweeps the other, we might could step in and steal that. But that's where we stand. Now, if you haven't done so, go to whenthebottomfalls.com, and you can get a copy of When the Bottom Falls, my newest book, and all my sports titles are there as well. We certainly appreciate your support over the years. And, of course, if you hadn't floated yet, you certainly should. Business has picked up a great deal. And if you're looking for a last-minute Mother's Day gift, why not give her the gift of floating? We've got a BOGO going. You get two for $89. So, basically, $45 a piece. You buy one for your mom, one for your wife, one for your mother-in-law. I don't know, you can give them to whoever you want to. You can keep them for yourself, but that's a great deal. So it's a BOGO running right now through the 12th, I believe it's correct. But for more information, call 662-268-7601. You can buy right over the phone, and she'll arrange to get the gift cards to you, and you can put it in a card and give it to mom or your wife or whoever. We certainly appreciate all your support, and so many of you Boneyard listeners have come and tried it out. And I appreciate your reviews. I've had so many people that said, Steve, it's so much better than I ever expected. I feel so much better after a float. It's difficult to describe. It really is. It helps my quality of sleep, helps my anxiety so much, gives me some better cognitive function, so much more relaxed, and I can stay focused so much easier. And I think this new book, The Dude, is benefiting from my regular floating sessions because of the fact I think the details are probably, this is probably the most detailed thing I've ever written. And I needed to get it right. So my mind has been in the right place. But listen, we love you all so much. And we'll be back with you again probably late Thursday night, early Friday morning, so I can get on the road, get settled, and then get to the ballpark. And eager to see Hagan Smith pitch. And I feel like if we can get out of that game, get him out of the game in a tie game or only down like one or so, we got a real good chance to win that game. We need Cal Steven to be really good too. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we all make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.